This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
How about tight ends? We've seen a great tight end class. I think there's still a ton of meat on the bone when it comes to that position in this class. Jared Wiley, 6 foot six, 250 pounds, a former quarterback who transferred from Texas. You guys heard of Guagi, go up and get it guy? This is my go up and get it guy.
How has life been for you since you included Guagi that day in your NFL coverage?
It's just changed exponentially. The check still hasn't come, by the way. I don't know what there was supposed to be like some pastrami or something like Bernstein used to send me. I feel like there was something, you know, to get that on ESPN TV. So I'm still waiting.
I missed my end of the payola. I totally missed it. You're right.
Happens.
Yeah, well, I'll get you something. I could certainly get you some pastrami. I have a Guagi hat. There's a Guagi hat that a listener made.
Even better. I'd rather have a hat. Yes.
Yeah. But all right. We'll get you a hat. I promise we'll get you the hat.
You sure about that?
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
So did you get Matt Miller the hat?
I still need to send him the hat.
He's going to be here this week.
He's going to be where?
In Chicago.
I put it
in the rundown.
You did. Hey, are we going to see him? Is he coming by?
Hope so.
Well,
ask him. He's there.
I'll go find him. I'll go find Matt Miller. Wherever he is, I'm going to bring him his hat this week.
He's an excellent guide when it comes to what's going on in the world of college and pro football. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Matt, thanks for joining us. Well, what is your toll for Spiegel now that you have put Guagi on the map nationally?
Yeah, still no hat, by the way. So. Okay. Still waiting.
Yeah.
Would be a great day. The wind's blowing like 50 miles an hour here today. Be a great day for a hat.
Yeah, no, I'll bring you. I don't know where you're staying in Chicago, but you could just
announce.
I'm
not going to say it on the radio. I'll text you.
We'll figure
it out.
That's fair. And I'll bring you a hat full of pastrami right to your hotel, sir.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Sounds kind of excellent.
Yeah, right? I know. Exactly. How much pastrami could you get on this hat?
Yeah. I know. Well, Matt, as someone who's now viewing this from 30,000 feet away, what would you say is your takeaway from what the Bears have done over the last week?
I like it. I think it's great to have a head coach that you trust to where you can go get players that fit his scheme and where he can even articulate to you what that scheme might be and so that you can go get those players. I think that is a obvious upgrade for where the Bears were a year ago. And I like it. I mean, we've seen Poles be aggressive in trading up in the draft, in trading out in the draft, in taking a punter in the fourth round. Like, we've seen Poles be aggressive a lot of different ways. I like the idea, and it doesn't take a great football mind to watch the Chicago Bears last year and say, gosh, they got to get better at guard, center, and guard, right? Like, we all kind of understood that. But to be able to look at those needs and say, okay, we're going to go get high-impact players. You know, there's familiarity with Jonah Jackson and Ben Johnson. There is certainly Joe Tooney is a leader, a great player who gives you some versatility if you need it. And then Drew Dahlman, the top center in free agency. So I think the great thing coming out of this, and the way I look at this moving forward, is the Bears have checked off every need. You know, like we all do those. Here are the Bears' top five needs headed into free agency. We all do those lists. They've checked them all off. And so at number 10 overall now in the first round, and with those two early second round picks, there's a lot of flexibility to maybe even just go best player available at those spots.
Well, let's focus on exactly that. I had this reaction, Matt, and you would know if there's someone who's worthwhile. But like, to me, once you have traded for two guards and drafted your center, I think interior offensive line is off the table at 10.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it would be. I would say offensive line is off the table at 10, just because there's no indication that they aren't Braxton Jones fans. I've actually talked to polls about this, not super recently, but like we've had Braxton Jones conversations. They drafted Darnell Wright in the top 10. So I would say, like, I would probably take offensive line off your radar at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about left tackle. Like, if Will Campbell falls because of some crazy arm length, you know, idiocy out there. But it's interesting. Your take on the because you think Braxton Jones is the guy if he comes back healthy.
If he comes back healthy, I think he's at least the guy for 2025. I don't feel super convicted about a Will Campbell to where I would take him over Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland and maybe even some of the defensive ends. Like, I don't see Will Campbell as Joe Alt or Penei Sewell, where you got to draft him, you know, like, because there is the arm length stuff and people can laugh at it, but there's not a good left tackle in the NFL with under 33-inch arms. Just, it doesn't exist. It's 33 and a half is probably the best in the NFL right now. That's Rashawn Slater. So there's not a precedent for that. Even as you project him to guard, he's going to have to completely rework his stance. I don't know if you guys have talked to anyone about that as we, you know, we're about 45 days away from the draft. Will Campbell plays with the most upright stance I've ever seen for an offensive lineman in my life. And we're going to ask him to play guard. He's going to have to completely rework his stance. That's doable, but he's not this plug and play guy. I love the work ethic, the character. He's hilarious, super productive at LSU, but he is a player that's going to need some work as he transitions into the NFL.
Inevitably, someone in the group between 10 and 25 ends up being special. But when I look at this draft, Matt, I feel like there aren't any bad choices, which makes me feel like the Bears should trade down and get more picks. How do you view the middle of the first round?
I think in the middle of the first round, you're going to have 30 guys who all have the same grade. So to your point, if all your blue chip players are gone at 10, then yes, you should trade down, because the value that you're getting at 10 is going to be similar to what you might get at 15 or 20. So if that market exists, and it might, if, let's say, Shedeur Sanders is still on the board and somebody decides they need to go up and get him. And we'll see, because like the musical chairs at quarterback is very much still ongoing with free agency right now. But if Ashton Jeanty's gone, if the two tight ends are gone and one of the top pass rushers are gone, that's, I think, your scenario to trade out. Because, you know, like drafting a receiver at 10, I think you can move back and get like the number one receiver in this class. I think it's Luther Burden from Missouri. I have coworkers who think it's Teterow McMillan and coworkers who think it's Matthew Golden. And some people would say Emeka Ogbuka is right there. So even if you say like, hey, let's just get a pass catcher in round one, I think you can move back from 10 and get a really similar value. And the crazy thing is you might even be able to move back twice, just depending on what happens. And, you know, we'll see how they identify where that need is. Even if it's at running back, if Jeanty's gone and you say, no, we know how important a running back is, we're going to take O'Marrion Hampton. Well, you can trade back and do that. Now, you got to keep an eye on Dallas at 12, but you could certainly, you just want to probably stay ahead of Pittsburgh at 21, depending on what they do at quarterback, to where you would still feel pretty good about getting an impact running back in round one.
I think I messed Spiegs up on Ashton Jeanty, Matt, and I feel bad about it because I like Ashton Jeanty. I didn't like how he played against Penn State. there are a lot of things that had me questioning what the hell was going on with him, him not being able to secure the ball. But you're playing up against a really good defense and a team that played for a national championship.
Let me jump in, Lawrence, though, but because having watched a lot of the highlight reel stuff, because when I went on my little running back curiosity rabbit hole the other night, Genty bounced off a lot of bad tacklers in his conference. That's what I thought and saw in addition to what you were talking about.
So from your perspective, what's the truth on Ashton Genty? What is he and what do you think he can be?
I think he's really, really good. I don't think that he's not up there for me with Bijan Robinson or Saquon Barkley as the best running backs that I've evaluated. There are going to be those questions about level of competition. I don't have my notes in front of me. I want to say it's against Oregon. He played really, really well. And so like that made me feel a little bit better about it. What I love about him is he had over 1,700 yards after contact. So to your point, like there was some bad tackling at that level, obviously, but that like if you just took his after contact yards, he would have been the number two rusher in the country last year behind O'Marrion Hampton. So there's like that ability is crazy. And like his contact balance is crazy. And if you go back to 2023, they actually threw him the ball a lot. He had like 600 yards receiving. I think it might've been the most of any running back in FBS. It's way, way up there. So his tape is like over the 2 years is awesome. You know, he's a little bit short. I don't want to say undersized. He's a little bit short. You know, he's 5'8", 215 pounds. It's like some of the contact balance is natural, but man, he can do everything. And, you know, to your point, that Penn State game, everyone in the stadium, everyone in the country knew where the ball was going to go because Boise State couldn't throw the ball to save their lives this year. So I don't hold that one against him so much. I think we got a guy who didn't fumble a lot prior to that, and he's just beat to hell at the end of a really long season where he was the guy for them, you know, over 2,400 yards rushing this past year.
Well, let's follow up on it then, because the guys you mentioned, Bijan Robinson, he's not that, and Saquon Barkley, he's not that. Bijan and Atlanta is not doing a whole lot of winning because they need more.
Yep.
Saquon and the Giants didn't do a whole lot of winning until he got to the Eagles. So that's part of why I want the Bears to get a running back down at number 72 in the third round, or maybe number 41 in the second round if they got to. Do you have some running backs who will be available there? I've got one, but let's hear who you like who will be available either at 41 or 72 that could fit in nicely. They're going to keep DeAndre Swift as kind of their speedier guy, so I give you that as context.
I still like Roshon Johnson as well as a number three, and I know there's a lot of people there that still like him, so I do think adding one is reasonable. Okay, so let's say in round two, if you're going to keep DeAndre Swift, in round two, I would add Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, who has the nastiest stiff arm of any player in this draft. His favorite thing to do is almost like palm the forehead of defenders and slam their face mask down, which I absolutely love. It's kind of a throwback. So Judkins, and to your point, like watch him in the college football playoff run. He was unstoppable. I mean, he was just such a bulldog for that offense. So he would be your round two option. Caleb Johnson from Iowa is tailor-made for an outside zone scheme, which is what you now have. So I think you have to factor him in. If you wait until round three, what's interesting with I have three running backs with a round three grade, they're all smaller guys. Dylan Sampson is 200 pounds. Trevor Etienne, right around 200 pounds. And Jaden Blue from Texas, right around 200 pounds. And they're all more speed guys than they are power guys. So if you're looking for more of that bumper, round three, in my opinion, is too early for Cam Scadabo from Arizona State, who I think everyone fell in love with during the Texas game. He's probably an early round four guy. If you told me that, hey, you got to reach to make sure you get him at 72 since you don't have a four, like I would probably, you know, want to try to trade back. But, you know, 72 is mid round three. That's not the craziest reach in the world if you decide to go for him there.
There's also an opportunity here for the Bears to go get a defensive end as well. I think they probably will help themselves out a lot in that regard. Who do you like and who's worth waiting on and seeing kind of where things go? And is there a bargain out there to be had at the end?
So it's a great defensive end class. I have six guys with first round grades right now. Here's a fun, like, slash crazy scenario for you, okay? Let's say Cam Ward goes first to the Titans. Shedeur Sanders goes second to the Browns. Would you trade up for Abdul Carter? You had two second-round picks. Checked a lot of needs.
I would.
And it's not going to be as expensive to trade up for a non-quarterback.
I would, like, but I'm crazy about him. So
I am too. He's my number one player in the draft. So I'm like, and I agree with you. Even with adding Deo and you have Montez Sweat, like, I still think the defensive end could be an early-ish need here, right?
Yes,
just because of the way teams are building. So, like, if Abdul Carter, I don't think he would make it past New England at four because I think Vrabel would draft him. But, like, if that scenario is there and the Giants are panicking, you know, it's like a full-on Kevin Costner draft day moment and the Giants are panicking, I would absolutely try to trade up to take him. Now, take that scenario off the dreamland table here. I think Mykael Williams from Georgia could be there at 10. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M probably had a good enough combine that he's put himself ahead of where the Bears are at. I think the Jets at 7, the Panthers at 8, the Saints at 9 are all certainly in play for him. The weird thing is there's a drop-off after that, and it becomes some guys with some character questions. Mike Green from Marshall, it was disclosed at the combine that he was accused of sexual assault once in high school, and then a separate time while he was at Virginia, which led to his dismissal there, and he ends up at Marshall, leads the FBS in sacks last year. James Pierce from Tennessee, I was doing ESPN National Radio a week ago, and Ian Fitzsimmons asked me about him, and Fitz said that the folks at Tennessee wouldn't even let them talk to James Pierce last year. As they were embedded with the team, they were keeping him away from the media. So those two guys, I know you're going to see a lot of them in mock drafts. Man. I don't think they go anywhere close to the top 10, though.
Your scenario that you painted for the dream of trading up to get to Abdul Carter is interesting, because as the last 2 weeks have gone on, I have heard people talk about Shadur in ways I was not expecting people to talk about Shadur, like the idea that he could end up not being drafted in the first round. What's going on here?
There's a couple things, and I think he'll be drafted in the first round. I don't think he would fall all the way out. I think part of it is the more people that get invested in the draft, I think the more information gets shared, right? In season, a lot of media members are worried about in-season stuff. We get to the combine, and that's when, you know, more folks get involved in covering the draft. So more information like that is apt to get out instead of stay in-house a little bit. I don't buy the, you know, oh, he's brash and he's cocky. I'm sure folks have that opinion. Just like if the three of us were to sit down with 45 draft prospects and we got 15 minutes with each of them, the three of us aren't going to agree on every player's personality and composure. And so it wouldn't be, you know, crazy for me to go to a media member and say, gosh, I really didn't like how that player interviewed. That certainly happens. I will say the consensus from scouts I've talked to is they've liked their interviews with Shadur. He is confident, but he is a coach's son who loves football, who has elevated two programs that he's been at. He's worked hard. And I would say this, you will not find a tougher football player in this class. I was at the Kansas game, and Kansas, like, they took some shots at him that were like, they were to the echo of the whistle, right? And it didn't rattle him, and he didn't come out. And I mean, he was taking shots to the knee, the head, and he just stayed in a play. So he's incredibly tough. Now, could he slip a little bit? Yes. I think just we're seeing how free agency has played out, where the Raiders trade for Geno Smith. You know, the Jets signed Justin Fields. Neither of those guys are top 10 quarterbacks, but teams are trying to secure those spots. So that's either those teams are out on Shadur Sanders, or they don't think he was ever going to make it to them in the first place at 6 and 7, respectively. So there's a little bit of, like, gamemanship happening right now. He could still be the second pick in the draft, guys.
Man, such fun stuff with NFL draft scout Matt Miller. You talk about Abdul Carter, and you lose Lawrence for the rest of the segment.
Pretty much.
You talk about the running backs and land on my guy, Quinshon Judkins, and you lose me for the rest of the segment. I'm just sitting here. Can you describe the move again? It's a stiff arm to the helmet.
A palm of the helmet.
Essentially.
And he, like, palms their helmet and slams their face mask down. It's amazing.
It really
Watch
is.
Watch the Tennessee game.
Let's go.
He just, like, it's fun.
So if they grabbed him at 41, you know, let's say they go D end and then offensive line and Quinshon Judkins from their first three picks.
I'd be pretty happy. I'd be pretty happy with that. I think you gotta look at receiver at some point. Just with Keenan leaving, I think you gotta look at receiver. I still think you could maybe go corner or free safety at some point, but we're starting to get pretty picky at that point.
All right, so you're coming to Chicago with your son this week, and of course I'm going to bring you a Guwagi hat full of pastrami. That's one thing. Lawrence, what should he and his son do while they're here in town?
How long are you in town?
It's 3 days, like 2.5 days.
How old's your son?
11.
I think he's still in the range. What's the name of that place where you could go play with the goo? Oh, God. I
was just going to get him drunk on green beer. So any idea is better than that.
Yeah,
that was my plan.
I got ideas.
Okay. Throw him in the river.
Yeah, so. But most of my ideas are a little touristy, but trust me, it's going to be awesome. Go to
Hold on. I got it now.
Okay, go ahead.
The Slu Mu Institute on Orleans.
It's where Tanny went to college.
It is a slime museum, Matt, where he can make and design his own slime.
That's
you guys can play with it. It's a really, really fun time.
There you go.
Is there a bar in there for stepmom and dad while he plays with slime? Because that would be... There's a business idea if they don't have
one. I don't think so, but there are plenty of bars down the street.
Yeah, well, and also, go ahead and do it. Take him to Navy Pier and send him into the Children's Museum. Guys, do the flyover, which is the awesome flyover thing that they have now, like the immersive thing where you like it's drone footage of Chicago. It's awesome. And there's bars there for you and stepmom to hang out while he's
even
messing
better.
Around. Yeah. I got you.
Matt, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you jumping on. Thanks for helping us try to figure out what's going on with the Bears.
Anytime, guys. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, buddy. That's Matt Miller. Nothing makes Shane more upset than when I recommend touristy things.
Yeah, don't do any of that.
No, yeah, do it. He's got a kid. Trust me, it's perfect.
So yeah, I wasn't gonna say this with Matt on, but I was talking to him last night. He's like, yeah, I just talked to Bernstein. He's telling me about all the neighborhoods to avoid. I was like, dude. Don't listen to him. He's lived in the same place for 25 years.
Oh, shocking. All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to check in with our buddy Jason Leisure. Let's get his thoughts on what the Bears have done and what they still might do. That's next here on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I didn't even have to do it. It's just there on the tape.
Jason Leisure does a phenomenal job of covering the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. We are glad that he comes and visits with us whenever there is Bears news. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, CircaLasVegas.com.
Leisure's bona fides are solid, and they are empowered when he makes a White Hen Pantry reference, baby.
He's from here.
I know, but like, White Hen Pantries are gone.
That's how they know.
That's how they know. That's White Hen Pantries haven't been a decade? More,
I bet. You know what? I do remember White Hen Pantry when I was producing still at Belmont. And I remember, like, it's weird, like, the little things that you remember, the idiosyncratic stuff from the host that we work with.
Yeah.
I remember that Fred
Huebner.
He wouldn't go to White Hen. He would go to J.J. Peppers.
He was a J.J. Peppers guy.
Because he could get, like, a 40-ounce, like, I think it was Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that huge Dr. Pepper.
And he'd have it all day.
Sure, at Irving and Cicero.
I get it.
Yeah, for sure.
I totally get it.
What's your favorite White Hen Pantry? Light them up! 3-1-2-6. I'll take the one on Lincoln near Racine.
I'll take the one on Fullerton off of Racine, because that's where we would go when we were at DePaul. They would always have really good donuts at that White Hen Pantry.
There you go.
Shout out to White Hen.
Leisure, got a favorite White Hen you want to shout out, or are you good? You want to move on to Bears? It's up to you, man. Your dime, your dance floor.
North McLean Boulevard, Elgin, Illinois, baby.
That's right.
Where else besides pretty much everywhere could you go buy a candy bar, a Sports Illustrated, a newspaper, and some kind of slush product?
Yeah. Do you guys still remember the jingle?
White Hen Pantry? No.
When you
Oh yes, go, I do. I do. All right,
Jason, here we go. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. When you go
you run out of anything, run
yeah, it's
out.
Run, it's
to
run out.
No, that's the second verse.
When you run out of anything,
run out to White Hen.
Yeah.
Get your lotto tickets there, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Again, tell me, name one other place.
Everywhere.
You can get all of it. That's true.
Any gas station now.
Any place.
You can get all those things. By the way, man, the beard on you is looking sharp. Did you just come from the barber?
Yeah, man.
I do my own barbering, man. My wife cuts my hair, and I do the facial hair. But I did trim it up yesterday. Two of the keys are, one, you got to keep your neck clean. You can't be out here looking all Kyle Orton.
Can't do the neck
and
here.
I got troubles.
You also got to get as close as you can to straight lines here. And that's where you probably need a professional, but I'm too cheap to do it. So I actually try to get it straight myself.
It's a good call.
It's looking pretty good. A lot of good beards
going
on. I'm
doing a terrible job here because I just forgot we're on a radio show and I'm like pointing and doing using
You're on Twitch. A lot of people are...
But they're no help to all the people listening to this on the radio.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
everybody. They kind of get it, but there's like hundreds of people on Twitch that are watching too, so it's helpful.
Jason Leisure, why is this offseason different from the last two excellent Bears offseasons, if it is?
Every excellent Bears offseason, right? I mean, the good teams aren't having remarkable off seasons. The good teams are avoiding coaching searches and free agent spending sprees. And, you know, it's been quiet for the Chiefs and Eagles, which is what you would want, ideally, is to have a team where it can be quiet. I'm not sure what makes this different as far as the guys they picked up. I think the thing that has to make it different for them is Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. What Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are able to do now that these players are in the building is going to prove whether or not this was actually an offseason where they accomplished a lot.
Well, it feels like they have. The Joe Tooney thing, I think, has got my partner excited and me excited too, because one of the things that they have lacked over the last couple of years, and we could argue more than that if you want, they haven't had any leadership up there. And I know that Joe Tooney is not in here to be a cheerleader, but the fact that this guy has individual and team accolades, I can only imagine that it's only going to be helpful.
Yeah, I think if he's good enough to protect Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, then he's good enough to lead the room and protect Caleb Williams. One of the things that I do like about this offseason compared to other offseasons for the Bears, where, and this is not necessarily a Ryan Poles thing, this has been Bears historically in my lifetime, is it was very targeted to their needs. And if you look at last year, how did this team end up 5-12? You thought they were going to be so much better. I don't know how many people really had them being 5-12 bad. Even the most cynical and pessimistic people probably had them 7 wins or something like that. So what unraveled for them? What was not good enough? You'd start with the coaching. You'd say the interior offensive line especially was bad, and the defensive line. And Caleb Williams was not quite as pro-ready as everybody thought, but let's set that aside for a minute. If you look at what they spent cap-wise or contract-wise on the coach, they've doubled that from what they were paying last year. If you look at the cap number for what they're spending on their 3 interior starting offensive linemen, they've tripled that through the acquisitions. Defensive line, it's about 1.5 times what they were spending last year. You are seeing targeted increases in spending at places of need.
You know what's interesting is that the Vikings have done the same thing on the lines. Jonathan Allen is a Viking. Will Fries, who was rumored to have interest from the Bears, the former Colts guard, is a Viking. Ryan Kelly, the center from Indy, is a Viking. So it's interesting to see them attacking the line as well. That I when I see that, and then I start to think, okay, well, why are our acquisitions better than theirs? Are they, or is this just something like linemen get paid? Linemen get paid real money these days in the NFL, Jason. So I think ours are better, but it's pretty intriguing to see the Vikings and Brian Flores add Jonathan Allen to the middle of their defensive line.
Oof. Matt, when you start using the word better compared to other teams and you start bringing other teams into the conversation, this is one of my main points about rebuilding in the NFL. You can look at the roster now and say, okay, let's grade it. Let's give it an A- or something like that, whatever. That's not how they score things in the NFL. It's all competitive. It's all a zero-sum game. So you have to fix your own problems, which you can see the Bears have attacked that, but you got to fix them better than everybody else. And you can like the moves Ryan Poles made, but you could still say, well, that offensive line is not as good as Detroit's. Or that defensive line, that defense overall is still not at Minnesota's level. You can look at the ways that they've built better infrastructure around Caleb Williams and say, well, is he going to be better next season than Jared Goff and Jordan Love? Those are the questions that they have to find answers to, and that's just in the division. That's before you start talking about other teams that you are going to compete for playoff spots with, like the Eagles, the Commanders, the Rams are always there. It's very competitive, and you have to not just fix yourself, but fix yourself better than all these other teams that are trying to do the same thing.
I am now in a rabbit hole on White Hen Pantry, and I am reading a story about it in the Tribune back in 2021.
Thanks for paying attention to the show, Lawrence.
I'm also listening, but I'm fascinated because apparently, like according to this story, I didn't realize this, but 9/11 was very difficult for Whitehead.
Oh no!
Yeah, and it
was difficult for a lot of us. Thanks.
Yes, but from a business standpoint, the spiral began in 2000, and then in 2001 there was a real problem, and then they were done in 2006. Speaks.
Wow. Oh, 2006. That's tough. That's tough.
And they were bought out by 7-Eleven, so most of those White Hen pantries became 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Oh, thank heaven.
I while you were doing that, Lawrence, I went on my own little rabbit hole for the lyrics to the White Hen Pantry song, trying to figure out
if Shane was right.
Yeah, and I think it is run out and run out to White Hen, and then run out of anything, run out to White Hen. So it's both Run out. It's not go out. It's run out twice.
Did I say go when I sang it?
Yes.
Oh, my bad.
You
my
said
bad.
Okay,
I was talking about when you run out of anything. Oh, okay, go.
Run yes. out of anything is in the third line.
It's the second verse.
That's not. I wouldn't call it a whole verse. I'd call it line three.
Okay, John.
You say okay.
Did you just John Lennon over here?
Did you just say okay, go did the song? Or did I hear
yes.
that right?
On treadmills.
On tread. Yeah. Songbird of his generation.
Hey, Jason, real quick, who do you think did 9/11? While we're on the topic.
Nobody at White House.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
it's a
probably
good choice.
A really good choice by you. The Grady Jarrett signing as well.
Nice segue.
Is to me like it's a big boy signing. And here's what I like about it. I like it didn't crystallize to me. I was talking to I think Clay Harbor last night, and I said,
it's a beautiful course.
I like that they stalked his contract situation.
Oh hell yeah, they pounced, man. They totally pounced on a surprise cut. They could have gone after Jonathan Allen, you know, and maybe there were conversations there, but as soon as they saw Grady Jarrett, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And that's got to be some Dennis Allen influence there, doesn't it?
But that to me is just big boy football
hell
too,
yeah.
Jason, where they were like, look, we understand the economics. We've got money and flexibility. We can give you a contract that you're not going to get somewhere else, and we can do it quickly.
And probably none of their moves scream trying to win now like that one. And we haven't, at this point, haven't seen every detail on all these contracts yet. I would imagine that that one has an easy out after the second year. So it's not necessarily a three-year commitment. But you're bringing in one of the most respected defenders in the league with Grady Jarrett.
I you know what I really like? I really like that the Bears seem to be a destination of choice for some people now. In terms of this, Andy Reid said that Joe Tooney wanted to come here, and he mentioned that in that cut that we played at the beginning of the show. And Drew Dahlman, according to Jonathan Jones, the NFL Network, Drew Dahlman took less money because he wanted to play for Ben Johnson and block for Caleb Williams. He liked the atmosphere, liked the surroundings and the team here. That I love that, Jason.
You're seeing some result of what the Bears have been trying to convince everybody of for the last few years, is that these are not the same old Bears. And I've heard that a million times in my life, but this really isn't if you look at who's running the show. And Kevin Warren coming in as team president is a big change from Ted Phillips, and it is the closest thing the Bears will have in the foreseeable future to a new owner. They're not actually going to have a new owner, but they have an outsider in Kevin Warren coming in, calling the shots, giving fresh eyes on the entire organization, saying, here's my long list of things that are not done with excellence here that need to be fixed. Ben Johnson is a totally different type of coach that has brought in top-level assistants and is going to start a new program. You could see why this would be desirable. It helps that they've got a lot of money, though.
It helps quite a bit.
For sure, but if Dahlman took
that
less.
That goes a long way.
If Dahlman took less because he wanted to fit in. But it's an appetizing thing, that's for sure.
It's a good thing. Jason, as always, man, thanks for stopping by the show and making it weird.
I'm the one that made it weird?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good thing,
yeah,
I think.
We appreciate
okay.
it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's Jason Leisure. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He's enjoyable.
Yeah, man.
He's a good man mm-hmm. and thorough. When we come back, there are some indications of where Aaron Rodgers might land.
Where do you want him to land?
I can't answer that question right now.
I'll answer. Venus. I'd like him to land on Venus.
Not far enough.
if good old JR were here, he'd have a place for you. But, yeah, we will talk about this because it gets interesting, especially when you look at the probable schedule for him if he lands at this particular team. We'll explain next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on The Score.
11 guys on the field, you know. Sometimes it's my fault.
Sometimes it was Mike Williams' fault. Sometimes it was every member of the Jets' front office's fault. Sometimes it was the Democrats' fault. It was the vaccine's fault. Whatever. It's Aaron Rodgers. He likes to blame other people.
Aaron Rodgers is out there.
Oh, it's true. I agree. Darkness retreat?
No, I meant porn. I meant for someone to go and get him.
Yep.
If they wanted to.
That too.
And you do wonder what the secondary, because I feel like Justin Fields is like the secondary market when it comes to quarterbacks that are signing.
So, Justin Fields, by the way, it's great for him. Was it $30 million guaranteed?
He'll get $30 million no matter what.
I did see this note to go along with it, just for context. It will be the lowest salary for any post-rookie contract quarterback that's a starter in the NFL. So, you know what I mean? Somebody decided they needed to share that. So, like,
it's a newer type of situation.
For an anointed starter for this year, he's on the bottom end of the scale. Okay, fine. You know? So it is what it is. But he's not making a ton for a guy who's after the rookie contract, but he's making $30 million. I forget who shared that. I think it was, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So glad I shared that. Look at Lawrence's face. He's annoyed.
I'm not annoyed at all. Are you kidding me? This is fun stuff. But Aaron Rodgers is out there, and there's now like not as many seats left for him to go and sit in quarterback musical chairs.
What's left? Because Daniel Jones is in Indy now with Anthony Richardson.
He could be a Giant if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be a Steeler.
He could be a Steeler, or he could be a Viking.
He could be a Viking. And I've actually been thinking a little bit about that.
That'd be fun.
If they wanted to delay the process with JJ one more year, you could have Aaron Rodgers just complete the Favre arc. And there it is, Packers, Jets, Vikings.
I mean,
put
amazing.
Them on a plane and all that good stuff.
After being essentially forced out by the drafting of the next one, you know, that's, you know, with Jordan Love, that would be an amazing thing. Favre essentially forced out by him, Rodgers essentially forced out, et cetera. Be awesome. But Steelers, if I'm him, I'm choosing Steelers between
those
three.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Well, he has a quasi relationship with Mike Tomlin. There's a mutual respect society that they're in. So there is this idea that that's the place where he wants to go next. And they have an opening for a quarterback.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully.
I get that. You've got the juice now. But that's a place where he could land.
Respectfully.
Here's the fascinating part about this, and Florio brought this up.
Okay.
If he were to be a Steeler, the Steelers' schedule this year, at home they play Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, obviously.
Sure, and on the road too.
And they, in addition at home, play the Bills, the Packers, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Vikings, and the Seahawks. On the road this year.
Okay.
They play the Bears.
Oh, that'll be fun.
The Lions.
That'll be fun.
Chargers, New England, and the New York Jets.
Oh.
He gets to do the entire revenge tour. The schedule broke down this way with the different divisions moving in a way that if he is a Steeler, he gets to do the entire revenge tour. Gets to play the Packers. Gets to play the team that he owns, gets to play the team that he destroyed in New York. He gets to do all of that.
God, I'd love to see Justin Fields and the Jets just shove it up Aaron Rodgers' giggy. You know, that would be great television. And obviously, I'd like to see him come to Soldier Field with the Steelers and no longer own the place. You know, that would be lovely as well. I got to admit to a fear that him and Mike Tomlin united would mean very good things. Because Aaron can still play a little bit. Down the stretch last year, Aaron actually looked pretty good.
Here's what I wonder, because that whole thing seems like it is headed towards a really messy divorce.
Steelers thing?
Because the two wide receivers.
Pickens isn't going
to
be there.
And then you add that to Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That has the opportunity to be very volatile. Now, if you're looking for the coach that can hold it all together, it would be Mike Tomlin because he held together all those volatile wide receivers that have come through Pittsburgh.
But
when you add in the crazy of the quarterback.
Yeah. They deal wide receivers. They deal rookie wide receivers on that rookie deal before they truly cost them. They traded Chase Claypool. Mm-hmm. They traded Deontay Johnson. They traded Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
They traded James Washington. That's four of them between 2017 and 2020.
And forget about just the rookies. They also then got rid of Antonio, too.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They will send you on your way. I think George Pickens, with the acquisition of DK Metcalf, I think George Pickens is going to be sent on his way. It's, this offseason.
It's possible.
I predict.
Say it like you mean it, son of a...
Shane got us donut.
Now we've mentioned both Murph and Fred on today's show. I think that's a quality day.
That is true.
You better believe it.
Time now for scores on the fours.
On the three and a half is your finger.
I recorded like nine versions of the scores on the fours theme as a producer. Anybody out there who remembers the scores on the fours jingle and wondered who sang those, that was me.
Well, that's not the only jingle I wonder who sings it, because there's sometimes when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, man.
And then all of a sudden this voice
comes on, right?
I know that voice. Look at that. It sounds so good.
It happened to me and Ruben the other day. We were sitting on the couch.
It was like Alexa.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're on TV.
No, we were watching something. I forget what we were watching. And there it was. Oh, it was the Carolina game. It was the Duke-Carolina game. Sitting there watching Duke-Carolina. And then all of a sudden.
And you got a ton of money for that, right?
Oh, yeah. Legendarily so.
Yeah.
Call 866-BAD-BUY-OUT. That's my.
In perpetuity. He got it in, like, that's the best part.
Sure.
That it's in perpetuity that he got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bowen has been breaking down tape on all of the additions of the Bears. What he has found out breaking down that tape, he will share with you next on The Score.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.